Good morning. I am just thrilled to be able to start our week off with you and with our Lord and be able to spend this time together. What an amazing thing to be able to start each and every week off together and just be able to worship the Lord. This is Becky Spieth, and I just was able this last weekend, I just got home late last night, to spend a whole weekend. We started on Friday, drove in freezing rain through the hill country up into Midland, Texas, into the Panhandle, and we spent the whole weekend ministering to an amazing group of leaders and emerging leaders. We did an intensive retreat that I call Business Transformation, and it was just so wonderful. We saw just lives restored back to the Lord and healed, and I just can't even tell you. I just feel so blessed, honored, and humbled that the Lord would use me in this way and continue to do that. So I feel like my cup is just full and running over, so hopefully we can have a little bit of that drip all over everybody else. This morning, I was really praying last night about what to present and bring forth before you, and I wanted to just share a few things that were on my heart. Did you know that God really wants you to come just as you are to Him? I think sometimes we think we have to be all perfect and we have to come in a specific way, or we've got to get all the mess, or what we look at as mess, cleaned up in our life before we can really come before the Lord. And there could be nothing further from the truth. That is a stinking lie from the enemy. He wants us to think that we have to get everything cleaned up, or he puts this guilt or shame or condemnation on us, and none of that comes from the Father. God just wants to ooze his love all over us and accept us just as we are. Now, does he let us stay that way? Usually not, because he loves us so much, and we fall in love with him, that we want him to be the Lord of our life, that we normally just start changing, but it comes out of relationship with him. And so I just want you to know that God wants you to come to him just as you are. So I don't know about you, but a lot of times on Monday morning in my home office, I don't put my suit on. This is where I get to put on some workout clothes or some sweatpants, or even sometimes I stay in my robe and pajamas until almost lunch. And I just have more of a relaxing, comfortable day. There could be no more comfortable place than to crawl up into the arms of the Father, rest in Him. So come exactly as you are. Even if you didn't brush your teeth yet this morning, He wants you just to come and be with Him. And you don't have to put on anything or try to clean up in order to just come into His presence. He loves that. All we need to do is just praise and worship Him, enter into His presence. I close my eyes, I get into my prayer closet, and I just feel like I'm just going to sit up there, and a lot of times I'll grab a cozy blanket, and I curl up, and I just sit in His lap, and I just keep my eyes closed, and I feel His presence all around me. You know, He tells us in His Word that He sings over us. I know some of us on this call are women. We also have some men on here, but I know especially for women, when my children were little, I loved it when they would crawl up into my lap. I'd sit in my gliding rocker, and I would just sing over them. And sometimes I'd sing Sunday school songs. Sometimes I'd sing hymns. Sometimes I would sing worship songs. And sometimes we just made up silly songs. So I wonder what kind of a song the Lord is really singing over us today. But I do know that we can crawl up into His lap and into His arms. We can release all of our cares at the feet of Jesus before we crawl up into the Father's arms, and we can just rest there. So if you've got anxiety or worry or frustration or confusion, I want you to wrap those up in neat little packages, lay them at the feet of Jesus, walk up to the Father, and crawl up into His lap. Now, I know there's been many times that I've actually crawled up into His lap, and I could feel His healing presence and that unconditional love, and the tears would flow. Do you know what tells us in the Word? That He catches every tear. He captures every tear. So it's okay to cry. He knows how you feel. And sometimes those tears can provide the most amazing cleansing and healing. Let your body just sink into His warmth, into His love. He loves you just how you are. To me, that's one of the most restorative things that I've ever been able to do. Now, was it always easy for me to do that? I'll be honest with you. I not at all. I never liked hugs at all. And I didn't really realize why until I was pregnant with my daughter, actually. And she's my youngest child. And all of a sudden, I started having memories flood into my mind of being abused as a little girl. And as I talked to my parents about this, they said, I asked them, I said, was I ever cuddly? Was I ever that way? Because I always can remember when anybody would go to hug me, I would feel like I needed to freeze up and I just needed to put a protective wall around me. And my mom told me that I was so affectionate, and so did my dad, until I was about 3 years old. Well, that was what I was remembering in my day-to-day life. What I remembered was that I had been abused and I had been sexually molested by members of my family. Now, for me, and they were gentlemen, and so for me it was a little bit challenging to decide, like, okay, I want to crawl up into the arms of someone, anyone else. But when I could release and know that God loved me just how I was, with any sin, any dirt, any filth, anything I was just feeling unworthy around, I could just crawl up into his lap. And when I could release that, pull down some of those walls, think about it, the enemy tries to put up strongholds around us, protective barriers. But Jesus wants to pull every one of those down. So I kind of envision in my own mind as I am entering into my worship and my praise time, I praise Jesus, I worship him, and I grab all of my crud, wrap it into neat little packages, and I lay it at Jesus' feet. Then I walk over to the Father. And at that point, every one of those strongholds has been taken down. Jesus kind of just grabs onto them at the time that I leave those packages of whatever I've brought with me. And then I can come truly and fully into the presence of the Father and crawl up in his lap. Do you know that inside of every one of the possibilities that you think in your mind, that God can positively make that happen? He wouldn't have given you that dream. He wouldn't have given you that desire if you couldn't make it happen, and if the things to make it happen weren't already all around you. He tells us these things in Jeremiah 29:11, because he tells us that he knows the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. Jeremiah 34:15 tells us that God wants to give us the gift of freedom. Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but when we exchange gifts, I like to always bring my best gift and give my best gift. I go and I give any gift I can, my gift of offering of praise or maybe just an offering to the Lord, monetarily wise or maybe in service. And in return, he gives me a gift. He gives me the gift of freedom. I don't know about you, but I don't know that there's anything that I could give that could even come close to all that the Lord has given me, but especially the freedom and the peace. One of the things I want to remind you about is that God's not into religion. He's not into just lip service. He's into relationship. He wants us to keep it real. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's absolutely nothing we can do to earn our salvation. Now, he loves it when we praise and we worship and we spend time with him and we are in relationship with him, but it's absolutely a free gift, according to Romans 6:23. We can't earn it, and it is definitely not deserved, according to Ephesians 2:8-9. We've all sinned, according to Romans 3:23. We can't save ourselves, according to Matthew 5:48. God is so merciful that he doesn't want to punish us. And a lot of times we feel like because we've done something wrong, we try to punish our own selves. Again, twisted thinking from the enemy. All we have to do is come before God and repent. Ask Jesus not only to save us of our sin, but to be the Lord of our life. We have to get out of our heads, because faith is not head knowledge, but it's trusting in Jesus alone for our eternal life. And that's found in Acts 16:31. But let me tell you, I was thinking about this. It tells us that Jesus wants us to trust him and be the Lord of our life for our eternal life. When did your eternity really start? Many of us think we have to wait until we die and go to heaven. That's when eternity is going to start. But I want you to think about something. Just let it be one of those things you ponder about this week. Is that really the truth? Or is our eternity, did it start the moment that we were alive? The moment that we accepted Jesus as our Savior? The moment that we were born? Or did it really start the moment that we were truly created? When the Lord tells us that he was thinking of us even before he formed us in our mother's womb. Why wait and put eternity off? Why not have him be the Lord of our life? Make the choices that he would have us make and trust him alone for our eternal life, for every moment, starting from before we even were created in our mother's womb. He knew us. He planned good things for us. When I get to thinking about that, then it gets me thinking about my own life and what I've done and the promises that God's given me. And I think, Lord, you promised me that Jordan would be an author and you would publish his book. You promised me that we would have a joint ministry. You promised me that I would have a global impact. Lord, you showed me in visions and dreams and confirmed it with prophecies prophesied over me that I'd be speaking in large stadiums sharing the gospel. Why hasn't that happened? Maybe it's a position or a promotion in your company that he promised you. And you're wondering, well, why hasn't it happened? How many times has God promised you, and then you thought, just like Sarah or Rebecca in the Word, that you thought, you know what, it hasn't happened to me yet, so God must have changed his mind. I better take matters into my own hands and try to make this happen. That can be deadly. It can destroy every relationship that you have, and it messes up God's divine plan. Now, it also tells us in the Word that God can work all things together for good for those that love him and have been called according to his purposes. It actually says he will. However, I wonder if we really truly trusted God and took him at his word and really had him be the Lord of our life, trusting in him completely for all of our life, what things could really look like. You know, Sarah, what she decided to do is she was promised to give birth. Well, she was way past her childbearing years. She and Abram, I'm sure, had decided long ago that they wanted to have children. And then the Lord promised Abram that he would be the father of many nations. And they were getting really, really old. I'm sure she thought, well, you know what? Evidently, we needed to figure it out for God. And so, because I don't know how many years I have left to live, and you the same thing, Abram, we better get my handmaiden. Let's get my servant. She still can have children. Let's have her have a baby. And we all know the story. They had Ishmael. There's always been strife and division between Israel and the Arab nations because of this exact situation. Don't birth an Ishmael in your life. Trust the Lord. He wants you just as you are, and he's working to perfect the work he's prepared you for. Trust him. Trust him with your whole heart. Rebecca also took matters into her own hands because the outcome of God that she thought was going to take place seemed so unreachable, just like Sarah did, to their own human heads, hands, and heart. What she did is she actually deceived her husband. She had Jacob dress up like Esau and receive the blessing. And then Jacob had to leave. He had to go away, and then he was deceived, and it was nothing but heartache. And that's not what God had intended. What obstacles seem to be unchangeable in your life or your business right now? If you're still not sure what God wants you to do, I'm going to encourage you not to be like Sarah and Rebecca. Don't be like Jacob. Don't take matters into your own hands. Don't doubt God, but trust him. Make him the Lord of your life. You know, I want to encourage you because it also tells us in the Word in 2 Peter 3:8 that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some people understand being slow. So we might understand our time frame is not necessarily his. Just trust him. Isaiah 40:27-31 says, "Why do you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine?" I mean, how many times has that happened? Lord, I haven't promoted to director yet. Lord, is this ever going to happen? We go on and on. But in the Word it says, God has lost, you know, Israel says, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care about what happens to me, really. He goes back and he asks God, haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's the creator of all you see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything, inside and out. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and they drop out. Young folks in their prime stumble and they fall. But those who wait on God, they're going to get fresh strength. They can spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and they don't get tired. They walk and they don't lag behind. I'm going to encourage you to take the Word of God today. Apply it to your life. Apply it to your business. Know that you can come how you are. You can get refreshed. You don't have to take matters into your own hands. But when you trust Jesus alone for your eternal life, and you have him be at the forefront of everything you do in your life and your business, watch out, because that strength's coming. He promises to fulfill it. I'm going to take a minute and go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we love you and we thank you for your Word. We know that because your Word says all things are possible, that we can stand on that. We know that everything will be worth it according to your Word. We know that you are supplying all of our needs according to Philippians 4:19. Lord, we know that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, according to 2 Timothy 1:7. Lord, we lift Rachel up to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that complete healing and restoration take place in her heart, in her mind, in her will, and in her emotions. Lord, we rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name from her thinking. You tell us in your Word that you want us to renew our minds, that you want us to be strong and steadfast, Lord. And so we claim that in Jesus' name, that her mind is restored, that she is standing in health, complete restoration, complete healing. Lord, there is no emotional disease in her life. We rebuke you now in the name of Jesus. You must leave. Lord, we know that it tells us in your Word that If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and all things become new. So we claim that in this situation. We also claim it for Edwina's family and her son. Lord, that you know the legal issues that they're going through with their family. Lord, I ask for divine favor. I ask for a favorable outcome in Jesus' name. We ask that truth be revealed. We ask that you will give supernatural wisdom and direction to his attorneys. Lord, I pray that you will bring restoration, Lord, that you will bring him to a place where he is stronger. He is more on fire for you than ever, Lord, because we know that you are working this to be favorable. We know that you are working this and all things together for good. Lord, you tell us in your word in Romans 12:2, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Lord, I ask that you would renew Rachel's mind, that you would renew the minds of everyone involved in this legal issue with Edwina's family, Lord, that they will have the mind of Christ, that it tells us in your word as well that you will prove what is good and acceptable and your perfect will in each one of their lives. Lord, I pray that over each and every person that's listening here, that we will take the time to be in your word, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we will have our faith rise up because we know that our faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. So, Lord, I ask that you will give us a new fervency, a new passion to be in your word. I thank you, Father, that we don't have to come to you in any way except come to you as we are. Lord, I thank you that we can turn all of our thinking into positive things, that you can positively make it happen. Lord, I thank you that we can be in relationship with you. I thank you that we can crawl up into your lap. I thank you for your healing and restoration for each person here. And help us to be patient, Lord, to wait on you, that, and to understand that your ways are not our ways, and that we need not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, and that you will direct our path. Forgive us if we've tried to be a Sarah, a Jacob, or a Rebecca, trying to usurp your perfect plan, trying not, you know, to think, like, how can we fix this or how can we make this? Lord, I pray that you will give us the mind of Christ because it tells us that you will do that in your word. And, Lord, that we will be on purpose and that you will be at the forefront of everything we say and do in life and in business. Lord, we just want to take a moment and give you glory, honor, praise, and tell you that we love you just for who you are. We love you for what you do for us, but we really just love you for being our Heavenly Father and that you love us in all circumstances. Lord, we know that you have declared a great plan over each and every one of our lives, and it's to prosper us and not to harm us. And Lord, we just say right now, we want you to be the Lord of our life. The Lord of our life, not just our Savior, not just our ticket out of hell, but the Lord of our life, the lover of our soul. Thank you for catching every one of our tears, counting every hair on our head, for singing over us, for calling us your beloved, and preparing a place for us. We can't wait to see you face to face. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have a fantastic week. I've got a special surprise for you next week. I will actually be at my John Maxwell training. So we are still going to have a call. I've got a special guest speaker for you. And I just can't wait. I'll be listening to the recording, but I'll actually be in a session in the morning. But definitely invite your friends to come. The call's going to be fantastic and phenomenal. And I can't wait to spend time with you real soon. Know that I'm praying for you all week long, and we'll be praying for you every day until we are on our call together again. God bless you. Take care. And don't forget to put your praise reports onto the Facebook page or any prayer requests, and that's The Christian Direct Seller. God bless you, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.